You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna. I'm Philip Manning, and this is Sioux Valley Voice. This week on the program, my guest is Talkeetna Elementary School Principal Lisa Shelby. We'll be talking about changes coming for the next school year to area students, including a new curriculum and an option for sixth graders to attend Sioux Valley Junior Senior High School. We'll also be taking your calls at 733-1200. Principal Shelby, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, to get us started, I guess the new curriculum, you kind of unveiled a little bit of that at an open house at the school about a week ago. So if you can just, I guess, give us the 30,000-foot view of what students at Talkeetna Elementary are going to be learning about next year and how their learning is going to change.
All right. Well, to take maybe we'll start at 50,000 feet.
Okay.
I'm new principal here at the school, and just having conversations with the district and then having conversations as I've landed on the ground here in Talkeetna again about what we want our school to be and how we want it to be a reflection of the community. And so I've been gathering information from parents, community members, students, teachers about, you know, what do we want our school's values and vision to be? So as we worked through that this year, one thing that kind of came forward was, you know, a school that had some science backing, mm-hmm. since that's a big thing in our community, place-based and outdoor ed, you know, how can we make sure that we are staying connected? And then just more of a community within the community. How can we get more community members into the school and be more connected, mm-hmm. to just what's going on around us? And with that, the district has been completely supportive of those efforts, and we decided to kind of become a lighthouse school, if you will, for STEAM. You may hear about STEM out there, science, mm-hmm. technology, engineering, and math. We're adding the A in there for art because that's a very important piece of Talkeetna.
Okay.
And so we're going to do STEAM, if you will. So what students will get and how it may be different, a couple of different ways we're going after that. One thing would be format of our school. We will still have kindergarten, first grade, second grade will still be kind of as it looks now and regular in their regular classrooms. We're hoping to do a lot more differentiation of students. I'm going to kind of get on a bunny trail, maybe a different topic, but
that's all right.
One thing that we, you know, in our year so far and having conversations, one thing we're finding is really needing to meet the needs of our high-end students. We have a lot of students who are above grade level in the school, and that's due to just the great parent involvement that we have and another reflection of our community. You know, how are we meeting their needs? How are we making sure they're staying engaged and staying challenged? That goes for kids all across the board. There's a lot of supports in place for students who struggle, mm-hmm. But it's the high end that's harder for us as a staff to make sure we're meeting. So how are we going to do that? So differentiation, meaning, you know, let's meet a student where they're at. We may not just have all first graders in reading, but maybe mix it up and have some first and second and or kindergartners just right where they're ready to learn.
Okay.
Third through sixth grade, we're looking to go to what I call an expert teacher model. This is a model that I am familiar with and have some experience with from both of my past positions as a principal. And what it involves is really letting teachers teach their passions and what they're best at. Mm. And so, for instance, having one teacher just teach math in grades 3 through 6, and then one teacher just teaching literacy, one teaching science, social studies, for example. What we have decided to do with that, just based on the staff that we have and kind of the direction we wanted to go, was to have one teacher who's going to just be our math expert. And so their classroom will look like a math lab, and that is all they will teach all day long, so they can go deeper with that content. That's the professional development that they will focus on for the year. That will become their expert subject. We have decided to combine science and literacy as kind of an integrated class, and we will have two teachers that are doing science and literacy because they're, you know, while it'll be integrated, there may be some times to bust mm-hmm. it out, and then also just for experiments to have some a team teaching approach to that. Social studies we will integrate throughout, and then we will also hit some specific social studies during our pullout, you know, specials, like art, music, and PE. We'll hit social studies in that way as well. teachers are excited about this. When I did implement this model at my previous school in Washington, where I've been for the last 3 years, and teachers love it. I mean, it does have a learning curve the first year, but a couple of the big things for teachers is they're not spread so thin, so they feel like they can give more quality to what they're offering to students. They enjoy looping with students, so they'll get the same students year after year for that subject, except that one group that comes in each year new, the third grade group. Otherwise, they'll have the same students, and with that, they can gain instructional time. We don't spend the first few weeks of the year learning, students learning about routines, teachers learning about students and how they learn and where they're ready to learn. Mm-hmm. We can set that up at the end of the school year so they can hit the ground running. It's pretty powerful in that way.
Yeah, it sounds, it definitely sounds like some pretty sweeping changes as far as the layout. I mean, it makes it kind of sound a little bit more like what you would see in a junior high or high school, as far as you have one teacher teaching a specific subject or mm-hmm. subset of subjects, and then the students go to those individual classrooms throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. In some way, it's a little bit different in, like our science and literacy, the way that our building is set up to share teaching and team teaching. Mm-hmm. So the classrooms have a removable wall between them. And so our building is really conducive to this. So really, as they move classrooms, they may only walk across a laminated floor to get to the other side. So it's not quite the same as moving, more formally in a middle school, except when they do, they will be going to a completely different teacher for math. But, we're so small, and this model does really work well for a small school. The other piece that I would say might be a little bit different is it changes the conversations we have as a staff. We are able to all have planning time together, which is different than what most middle high schools can do just based on schedule. So when students all go to art, music, PE, they go at the same time so that teachers can have a conversation together. And we're able to do that so that they can have that every day.
Okay.
And it really changes the conversation from my kids in my classroom to our kids in all classrooms. So we all become more responsible, more accountable for how the kids are doing and what they're learning in all classrooms. The power of that is there's a lot, each teacher brings their own set of skills to mm-hmm. the table that they're super strong in. And so we can share those strategies and share those skills among each other. For instance, if a certain student is struggling in one skill area in one classroom, they may be thriving in the other because, they have a passion for mm-hmm. a subject as well, and one comes easier to them. Mm-hmm. But we can talk about, how do we reach that kid and how are we supporting them, as a team? And it's pretty powerful to do that in this way. So
that I remember from the open house that hasn't come up yet is the integration of technology within a lot of this. And, mm-hmm. You mentioned right before we came on air that the school's gotten some new computers mm-hmm. in and some new opportunities as far as technology. So how is that going to integrate in the day-to-day classroom life?
Okay. Just one of the things that has come up through our conversations throughout the year, we have a fantastic computer lab in the school, but there's not a lot of technology right at students' fingertips in the classroom. And so we went after some grants this year, and we're lucky enough to get some great grants. And then we also got some support from the district. And so we bought what's called a cart on wheels. And so we have a computer cart that we'll hold. And what we ended up purchasing was tablets, essentially, but with a keyboard as well. So mm-hmm. they actually function as a laptop for students, but then can also be a tablet so that we have a little bit more flexibility and freedom with cameras if we wanted to take them outside or take them on a field trip. Moving around the classroom and things that we can do with the Promethean board from students' desk and how they can have some flexibility there. And then just, the new curriculum just around the nation and this big push for, standards. And so we're really wanting to make sure that our kids here, we're in a big district, but we're in this little tiny wonderful place called Talkeetna, and we can sometimes be in our own little bubble. And so we want to make sure that kids have all the doors open mm-hmm. to them. And so that is, that it's for students at the elementary, they're not going to know any different technology. They're digital natives. And so they know more about it than we do. And we just want to put it right at their fingertips as much as we can. So yes, we'll have technology integration in the classrooms and using it as much as we possibly can, to also adding a technology special, if you will, right along with art, music, and PE, and engineering will also have technology. And following, there's some Common Core technology standards out there. And so we will, you know, probably follow those pretty closely for what students need to know at each grade level for technology. And it starts all the way down at kindergarten with keyboarding in kindergarten so that, you know, by the time they're in third, fourth, fifth grade, they can actually be, you know, typing. And so we'd like to get them to a place where that's comfortable and easy for them. And then everything else from, you know, from learning how to podcast to learning how to, you know, we did an hour of code this year. You know, can we teach them coding? And there's some great apps and programs out there for kids that are really fun ways to learn those sorts of skills. And it's really engaging for kids, you know. And there's lots that we can be doing with them. So we do, one of our teachers, Lisa Curtis, has, you know, that's kind of one of her passions. And so she's going to help us kind of be a teacher leader in that realm as well and lead us through. And, you know, she went and did some training this year, and we're excited about her helping us lead that charge.
So. Okay. Well, my guest is Principal Shelby at Talkeetna Elementary School. If you have any questions or would like to join the conversation, the number to call is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. Now, you mentioned in there standards, and of course there are federal standards, state standards, and they're always kind of moving around a little bit. I mean, but this is test time, is it not?
Yes.
More or less, AMP.
Yes, started Monday.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, how does the new plan integrate with those standards?
So we have new Alaska state standards, and so we will be, you know, following those closely as we are now. And the new assessment for students, we've moved away from the paper pencil assessment to what we now call AMP, which is the Alaska Measures of Progress. And that started just this last Monday. And so now all the students will do their annual assessment of progress on the computer. And so this year, so far, so good. We're 3 days in, and it's going smoothly. And we are, you know, they are assessed in math and language arts. And each year, that will change slightly. Within 3 years, it will be more, it will be, oh, I'm going to forget the word, but right now, it's a static test. They take it at their grade level, and it just tells them how they did at their grade level.
Okay.
Within 3 years, the test will modify where, it, you know, if they're a high-end student, it will take them where they need to go.
Okay.
You know, they could be testing at the seventh grade level, and then it'll kind of, it'll.
So it's dynamic to each.
Yes.
Student.
And so that's coming in about 3 years. At least that's the timeline they're on right now. I mean, who knows?
Sure.
But that's the plan. And then they'll also, you know, right now there's no typing or writing, but that's coming as well.
Okay.
So within that 3 year window, when they do their writing assessment, it will be keyboarding, and math will contain where they have to defend their answer in writing. So these are other, which is all great. You know, it really raises the bar for kids. I'm excited about these changes for education, for how that trickles down into what we're going to do in the classroom, for not just rote learning, but real learning where kids, you know, they have to talk about what they're learning and how they're going to apply it, which I think then helps make deeper learning for them.
Yeah, I don't think I had to defend a math answer until I was in 10th grade geometry.
Yes. It's coming in elementary. And, you know, our new math curriculum that we started this year has already exposed students to some of that. You know, there's a lot more writing in math. And, you know, it was a little rough at the beginning of the year, and now they're used to it now. And,
and
it's amazing how they shift and what they can step up to. So
right. Now, when you say writing in math, you don't just mean word problems, though, like the sort that we were used to as kids. So how has that changed?
Well, I think even for some of the simple answers, explaining, you know, why and how, or giving a problem to a student that, and asking them to explain the person's thinking that they're just, you know, that was in the word problem. It really is having them apply and think through more of the processes of math.
Okay. So, like I said, the sort of thing that I didn't have to do until high school, basically.
Yes. So.
Well, we do have a call on the line from Ellie.
Okay.
Ellie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Lisa, I'm real glad to have you on the program here today. I am not a parent and not as closely connected with the school as I might be. But I have to tell you, I'm thrilled to hear you talk about STEAM and including the art part in your program. I come into the school relatively frequently for community schools programs, and I'm always amazed at what I see on the walls of the school every time I go in there, all the way from, and I can see the integration of the artwork with learning in other areas, such as the birds that the kids were just making were gorgeous. In one of the classrooms, there's masks all over the walls. At one point, I think it was diagramming, it was like Fibonacci numbers or something. And so I just wanted to give you that feedback and with the encouragement that it's awesome what you guys are doing down there.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I do, I have to throw out a plug for the art piece. Our PTA actually funds our art teacher, you know, just with budgets around the state and really around the nation. Art teachers are hard to come by, especially in elementary schools. And so our art teacher is funded by the PTA through grants and just community donations. You know, the Bun-to-Bun run, that was a big piece of it as well. And so we're very fortunate to have such a strong art program. And then the birds that you refer to that were just done, we had artist in residence Steve Gordon come up from Anchorage, also kind of a joint funding between the school and the PTA. And it was amazing what he did with students. I helped him unload his car when he got here, and I was kind of like, unloading plywood and blue board and really wondering what in the world.
Heavy duty hardware.
Oh my goodness. And then watching his vision come to life by the end of the week and what he did with students was phenomenal. Sure. It was phenomenal, and they're beautiful. And so, you know, for kids, the creativity and how they apply that is great, and it's really powerful. And, you know, as much as we can integrate that, we do, but we also enjoy having an art expert in the building.
Right.
She can take students deeper and help them learn art at a different level because it's her passion and it's what she went to school for. And so she, her confidence level that she brings to the table for what they're doing is pretty amazing.
Sure.
So thank you, Ellie.
Yeah, and hopefully Ellie heard all that. We had a little phone issue. I had to drop her a little bit earlier than I had intended to, but hopefully she got all of that. If you too would like to call in, the number to call is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org, and we will get you on the air with us. You know, you were talking about art and the fact that it's funded by the parents or the PTA and the community as a whole. You know, as we're looking at schools around the country, and this really began when I was in school. Not to date myself too much, but I graduated from high school in 2002. And by that point, we were already well on our way in Texas, where I went to public school, to losing a lot of music programs and art programs, theater programs, things like that. Has it become easier as an administrator to, easier or harder since that time, to kind of keep those involved, keep those as being as part of the school? I mean, and now it's going to be obviously one of your focuses, the arts at least, through the STEAM program. Is it becoming easier again, or is it still difficult?
I would say that's really a district-to-district decision. You know, I've now been in three districts as an administrator, and it really depends on the priority of the district.
Okay.
That's how the money is spent around, because that's not something that's funded from the state. And so, or the feds, you know, for those specials, if you will. You know, we're pretty fortunate that music is something that the district does fund.
Okay.
And which is wonderful and powerful. And we also, just as a plug, we have a wonderful music teacher this year, Miss Katie Heller, and she's a local, and we, so happy to have her in the building and just all that she brings, and I hope she stays for a long time. And so art is something that is very, you know, for our community, it's a big piece of who we are. And so I'm really excited to continue to team up with the PTA in making that happen. We're lucky also that there's lots of grants out there, and they are supporting us and in trying to keep that going. And so, you know, that's part of this move too, is, you know, continuing to just make that who we are as a school and part of our community. But no, it's not getting any easier to fund those things in school.
Okay.
Not yet.
So I want to you've talked a little bit about specials, mm-hmm. which is the kind of the breakouts, the mm-hmm. PE science or PE art, music, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And one other thing that stuck out from the open house last week to me was the integration with homeschool mm-hmm. and with Matsu Central. Can you just explain a little bit how that works for folks that may not know?
Sure. So also the another thing, you know, we've done this year also with district support is kind of open the school up to our homeschooling students. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a small community school in a small community, and we're not necessarily one size fits all. You know, we don't have access to a Montessori school down the road or, right. you know, a religious school down the road. And so, you know, I have a background in homeschooling education. I was a contact teacher for quite a few years in a homeschool program. And so I really want to honor those families and how they're teaching their kiddo. You know, they know their kids best. And, you know, I worked with families who had one student in public school and one they were homeschooling because that's what was best for their kids. And so in keeping that at the forefront of what's best for kids, you know, with district support, we kind of opened up the building and have a partnership with Matsu Central. Mm-hmm. And Matsu Central is a homeschool support program through the district. And we're, again, very fortunate. Becky Morin is our contact teacher. And so we were able to have her in the building here part-time. And then she's also out at Sioux Valley part-time, just supporting those families and creating that bridge and making sure that, you know, the school is open to mm-hmm. them as well as a community, you know, as a district resource and a community resource. So those students who are enrolled in Matsu Central are welcome, you know, the doors are open and they're welcome to access classes. This year we've had 11 students consistently accessing the building for art, music, PE, engineering, which has been fantastic mm-hmm. and looking to see that continue next year. And, you know, with the new format and the new schedule, in my experience, you know, sometimes those families would then join us also for, you know, they'll just come for math because perhaps their student is really good at math, but the parent, that's not their forte.
Right.
And so they don't feel they're teaching it to the level their students need, so they'll put them in school for just that subject. And we're open to that as long as there's, you know, I mean, in order to make it work, there needs to be commitment and consistency,
sure.
both for the student, the family, and for, you know, especially for the teacher. You know, as long as they're willing to commit and be consistent in coming for that schedule, it really works quite well. So,
okay.
And it's not a problem at all.
So that then extends outside of the specials, but can actually potentially include the core classes.
For next year.
Mm-hmm. For next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a little complicated this year. Our schedule is not quite conducive to that this year, but as we move into next year, the schedule will be more conducive for that to happen. So,
interesting.
And that's, you know, that is something that is kind of Talkeetna Elementary specific. That's not something that's wide open for the whole district for multiple reasons. Most have to do with, you know, class size and just the access, but it does work for us here in this community. And so the district has supported me in allowing us to continue to let that happen. So,
And just to hit on one more thing before we hit the bottom of the hour break, you know, we've talked a little bit about kind of the broad strokes of what's going to be happening with the science, technology, engineering, art, and math. As far as the curriculum itself, the textbooks, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, I understand that there is, in fact, another school in the district that's using the same material that you intend to use next year?
Yes. So, again, with district support, we're still going to be using the district language arts curriculum in grades K-2 and also in 3-6 for specific things. But the district is supporting us in a curriculum called Seeds and Roots. Well, that's the shortened version. Mm-hmm. Seeds of Science, Roots of Reading. We call it Seeds and Roots. But it is an integrated science and literacy curriculum. And it comes with lots of books, nonfiction books. It covers all of the nonfiction standards. Incredibly engaging. And has lots of hands-on activities and materials that goes with it. And it's pretty heavy in writing, which we're also excited about. If there's one weak area that we have as a school, it is writing. And, you know, writing's very difficult to teach. It's definitely one of the hardest things as a teacher. And so this will help us. It walks right through for teachers and for students of really becoming a really strong, prolific writer. And so we're excited about that. And Mokotoss Elementary had a school within a school model that was using this. And then they went just this year with a new principal to using this more full time.
Okay.
In also on piggyback with some of the district literacy curriculum. You know, grammar is grammar. You can't really dress it up too much. So
right.
We'll be still doing that the old-fashioned way. But, you know, there's definitely just more variety for kids. And really, you know, what we're trying to do is go after the standards, but with some creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, we still have to make sure kids are, you know, meeting those standards or exceeding them, but looking at more creative ways to do that than just one path.
So still going to be diagramming sentences then. Do kids still do that?
A little bit, yes.
That was always one of, as much as I loved writing, I always hated diagramming sentences. It was one of my least favorite things in school.
I don't think you're alone.
give me a trig problem any day over diagramming a sentence. So we're coming pretty close to the bottom of the hour here. If you want to join in the conversation for the second half hour, you can give us a call 733-1200, send an email, or send an email to dj@ktna.org. We do have a couple minutes left, though, before we take a break. So, I mean, anything else you want to add as far as the new curriculum? I mean, I'm sure we could probably spend the whole hour just talking about it. But, you know, as far as – well, actually, you know what? Something that you do that I know gets announced on our airwaves is Second Cup. Mm-hmm. And I think, is that going to be tomorrow or is it the second Thursday?
Actually, it was supposed to be tomorrow, but because of testing, I am the testing coordinator. So our next one is not until that first Thursday in May. We canceled the April one. So
okay. Well, can you just tell us a little bit what that's about?
Sure. So every first Thursday of the month, it's just an open time to come in and have a conversation with me. So it's time to just set aside. We set up coffee in the library, and it's not really an agenda. Sometimes I have things I want to share, but normally there's not really an agenda. It's just a time to come and share concerns, come and share ideas, come and share affirmations about things that are happening. You know, we love to hear that too. It's for anyone in the community. You know, we get a lot of parents that come in because everybody's really busy, and sometimes it's hard to just connect. And it's a way to connect without having to make an appointment, which is also really nice.
Right.
And so, and it's been great. We've had, you know, as many as 13 to sometimes just two and sometimes no one. It just depends, you know, when it's beautiful and blue skies out, sometimes no one comes.
It's hard to get people in, yeah.
They're out skiing. But it's just an open format to just come and have a conversation. And, you know, we really like to get people in the school to see what we're doing. And, you know, and we love of hearing new ideas, and we also love feedback. It's good for us to hear the feedback as well so we can keep growing.
Okay. So. And so you said that some of those have been quite well attended.
They have, with community members and parents. It's great. So.
Okay. And so the next one will be the first Thursday in May. Let me pull up the calendar here and I can tell our listeners exactly when that will be. Looks like May the 7th. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At 8:30 in the morning. So.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing you have coffee if it's at 8:30 in the morning.
Coffee's on.
I suppose. All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break here at the bottom of the hour. My guest is Principal Shelby from Talkeetna Elementary School. If you want to join us in the second half hour, the number is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org, with any questions or comments. Back for the second half hour of Sioux Valley Voice. My guest is Principal Lisa Shelby from Talkeetna Elementary School. We've been discussing in the first half hour, we were talking about the new curriculum and some changes to the learning format at Talkeetna Elementary School. we might continue some of that in the second half hour, but there are also some other topics to come up. If you want to bring up a topic, the number to call is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. One thing I wanted to touch on before we get too much further into any other topics is talking about funding. Mm-hmm. And so you've mentioned a few times that the district has been very supportive, both, you know, conceptually and financially, as far as changing some of the format at the school. And there might be, you know, each year it's always a question mark what the funding picture is going to look like from the state and from the borough. Has the district given any sort of indication of whether or not that support that's there now is going to continue into the future?
Well, of course, you know, as much as they possibly can, they don't want things to change, but there's a lot that's out of the district's control. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure everybody's reading the paper right now with the cuts coming out of the legislature, and, you know, one of the biggest things that's come at us funding-wise is, you know, the state's cut preschool funding and cut some of the grants that fund preschool. And so, you know, the grant that pays for the preschool at Talkeetna Elementary School did end this year and is not going to be funded again. However, we're not going to miss a beat because preschool is very important to this community and to Talkeetna Elementary. So we're going to use some of our Title I funding in order to keep that rolling and keep it going. You know, that does mean a loss of a position at Talkeetna Elementary. We will lose our Title I assistant because the funding that was going to that will now go to preschool. But we felt that was a very important thing to support, and so we won't miss a beat. We'll make it work, you know, as we always do. But, yes, I mean, that's, you know, funding from the borough and funding from the state, they're all kind of tied together and it's a trickle down. And so, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. I think, you know, as much as we can, just hope and then write your legislature, you know, I mean, I think getting involved at the state level is powerful and letting people know what's important. You know, luckily they're not messing with the base student allocation coming at us. So that'll be really helpful. And, you know, we'll still have the borough support. I think the district is asking for a little more support from the borough. But I know there's also legislation out there messing with that on a statewide level, and I'm not sure how that'll turn out.
Court case, yeah, there the is. Court case mm-hmm. going on right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of just been put on hold at the moment because mm-hmm. of what's going on in the legislature. So it's really a big, ginormous question mark, unfortunately.
Right.
So,
Well, as far as that goes, you mentioned base student allocation, which did go up a bit last mm-hmm. year in addition to the one-time funding. The one-time funding is what's now been taken back out. But what is enrollment looking like at Talkeetna Elementary?
Well, we're feeling really fortunate and feeling a little rich, actually, since we're talking about funding because of our enrollment. We started the year with 85 students, and as of yesterday, we're up to 104. So we're pretty excited about that. We've had a lot of families moving into the community. We had some families that had left the school to go homeschool have now come back in, and we're really excited about that as well. We're growing. So we are looking at adding a staff member next year. So we're pretty excited about that. You know, just looking at the bleak forecast out there for the state, we're feeling a little giddy that our numbers are supporting us to get another staff member. So
the increase in enrollment is kind of shielding the funding right now because you've got more students for the base student allocation?
For us right here on the ground, yes. Because we're up, you know, quite a significant number of students, and we're losing our small bubble. Our smallest class in the building is our sixth grade group that will be moving to Sioux Valley next year. So, you know, when looking at a class of twice that much coming into kindergarten,
right.
and so plus the growth we've already experienced this year. And so we're pretty excited about that.
Right. So, like you said, funding is always going to be a question mark, and the final budget is still, it's actually in the finance committee right mm-hmm. now as we're talking. I think that they're discussing that, including, you know, the big cuts to education mm-hmm. and to various arts programs and public broadcasting. So we'll see. We're all watching that with bated breath, I assure you.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit. You mentioned sixth grade, and I think mm-hmm. you were referring to the sixth graders that are going to be moving to seventh grade next year. But the sixth grade is another big topic right mm-hmm. now, and that the reason for that is sixth grade is now going to be offered at Sioux Valley in addition to the area elementary schools. So I guess if you could just lay out kind of what are the options for families with a current fifth grade student.
Sure. So earlier, a few months ago, the district did open up option at Sioux Valley for sixth graders for next year for Willow Elementary, Trapper Creek Elementary, and Talkeetna Elementary. Just looking at, you know, how can we best meet the needs of students, and it's just another option for kids, just like they have down in the Valley. And so as a current fifth grade student, parents, it's a complete parent decision, and parents can choose if they would like their student to stay at Talkeetna Elementary or if they would like their student to go out to Sioux Valley. You know, and there's differences. The standards are still the same for sixth grade, no matter where they mm-hmm. are. The format may look a little bit different in each of the buildings, but the overall, it'll feel a little different, I guess, culturally in mm-hmm. each of the buildings. I mean, that just is what it is,
sure.
too. So really, parents just have to decide what's best for my child and how do they learn and who are they as a kiddo and what's the best fit for them.
And when you and I talked about this last, you mentioned, you know, and I was like, what are the factors that kind of weigh in? And you mentioned, you know, the differences that each child has developmentally mm-hmm. is probably one of the big factors mm-hmm. there.
I heard that a lot from parents when this first came out of just, you know, developmentally, where is my child and mm-hmm. What building would they better fit into? Other conversations are around academics.
Sure.
You know, Sioux Valley can offer, you know, a student can actually be in a class above themselves. For instance, they offer a math track. So if a student is coming in as a seventh grader, but they're a high-end math student, they can go ahead and jump into eighth grade, you know, Algebra 1, eighth grade, and be on a different math track. And so that's just the difference in how a middle school, high school,
okay.
and elementary school are run, whereas we're going to differentiate with one in one class to meet those students' needs. They can actually be in a separate class there. And so there's a little bit of difference there in what they're getting. And so, you know, again, it just really depends kid to kid of what the parents' goals are and who the kiddo is and what
okay.
the parents think is best. So.
And I mean, this might be a question better asked of Principal Mabry, but is the plan to then bump that track down so a sixth grader coming in could potentially be in seventh grade individual classes for math or science or whatever their strong suit is?
Is an incoming sixth grader be in a different?
Yes.
Oh, I think it's definitely there for math, and that's been there for sixth graders going into seventh grade as well. So this
okay.
is that's not something new,
okay.
That is opened up, and it just depends on that's a teacher recommendation, and you know that's pretty standard. Both of the other schools I'm coming from, that's pretty standard as well, and kids can get high school credit for math as an eighth grader. And so that's
okay.
kind of why math is one of those driving places. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's a state, allowed by the state. So
as far as, you know, how many fifth grade, current fifth graders do you have at Talkeetna Elementary?
We are up to 15.
Okay.
I had to think about that for just a second. We got four more after spring break. So.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So it's a growing number.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what happens at the elementary school level if all of them stay, all of them go, it's 50-50?
You know, it really won't impact us. If they all stay, I might be asking for another teacher. I won't be shy. But if they, because right now we will still have one teacher less than we do grade levels. And
okay.
so it will be a combined fifth and sixth grade class. We're not anticipating that they would all stay. That's not how things are rolling out. Three quarters of them, if not more, are choosing to go to Sioux Valley
okay.
of our current fifth graders. If they all go, it still doesn't impact us. We would just have a class full of fifth graders, and we've
okay.
So it really, either way, we'll make it work, and we'll have it be best for kids.
So you've already got indications of who's going where.
Yes, we do. I mean, there's still people that haven't made a final decision mm-hmm. yet, and you know, the nice thing is there's not necessarily a deadline that they have to.
Okay.
They can, you know, it's even, they can start in one place and end up at another. It's kind of an open enrollment piece. Now, you know, that comes with some difficulties depending on when you shift around for kids.
Right.
You know, it can be disruptive, but that is there for an option for parents.
Okay.
So
no matter what happens, though, sixth grade will continue to at least be offered at both at the elementary school level as well,
yes.
at least for now.
For now, yes. And as far as we know, you know, there hasn't been talk about it, that option disappearing, but Who knows?
Right. Well, if you have any questions or would like to join in on our conversation about Talkeetna Elementary and education in general, the number is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. So I guess to circle back around for the curriculum, which you said is the new style is 3rd through 6th grade, could you walk us through a typical day in the life of, say, a 5th grader at Talkeetna Elementary under the new program?
Sure. So our draft, because this is still a draft right
sure.
now, but what it looks like is, you know, students would show up and they would go either to math or to science literacy first thing in the morning for an 80-minute block of time. And then after that 80 minutes, there's a slight break where we'll do a snack, and then they'll kind of shift gears and either then switch classrooms if they're going from science and literacy to math, or just kind of walk across the room and or just shift what they're doing in their own classroom, with our science and literacy being a team, for another 80-minute block. Then it's lunch, and then in the afternoon, there's another academic block, 80 minutes, and then they'll go to either art, music, PE, technology, or engineering. Technology and engineering are 1 day a week per grade level, and the other classes are 2 days a week. The art is also 1 day a week. So PE and music, they will get twice a week. And then art, engineering, and technology will be once a week.
Okay. And I guess I never had an engineering class in elementary school, so I've got to admit I'm a little curious what exactly that entails.
Well, we're using a curriculum called Engineering is Elementary, and it's a curriculum built just for elementary students all around different types of engineering. And it's all different. It's physical science, and kids make different, for instance, pulleys. You know, they're working a lot with that, and they actually create projects. They just finished in aerodynamics, working with aerodynamics, and built parachutes. And they actually went in the gym and dropped them. And, you know, they had to use specific parameters to build them and did an experiment based on the size of the chute and how much weight is in it. And so then they collect that data. And so the units, they come with lots of reading and writing as well. And Becky Morin is doing that for us and teaching that curriculum. But it's just another way to think about science and math and literacy kind of all integrated together. So very engaging for kids.
Right. And then we talked a little bit about the technology special and how it's going to be starting with keyboarding in kindergarten, which, you know, this is probably, I imagine that the age that starts has been gradually shifting younger and younger as the years have gone on. So by the time, and you mentioned a coding, an hour of coding, at what point does that become integrated in the curriculum for the kids? Is that more like a fifth, sixth grade sort of thing? Or
we did it with everyone this fall.
Really?
It's actually, there's some really very intuitive and easy programs out there. I mean, there's so much that with technology. I mean, there's more than we can touch and understand of what's available to us. And that'll be the hard part is, you know, what do we put in front of kids and and when and how. And that's, you know, we're going to try to follow that curriculum or the standards, and that's why that'll help guide us. You know, and keyboarding at the kindergarten level looks different than keyboarding at third and keyboarding at fifth.
Right.
You know, it's more of that using the mouse and the hand-eye coordination. And, you know, the hour of code we did with every student, and it was accessible to every student just in how detailed they got and what kind of a program they wrote. So,
you know, and it's interesting, you used a term earlier, digital native, which is what I've heard used more than once to describe kind of the youngest generation that's up and coming right now. And as someone who was in the generation that was the first, I think, to have computers in the classroom every single day, that's just become more and more prevalent. So how does that, beyond having these technology specials, how does dealing with this youngest generation who have grown up with smartphones and tablets in their hands and things like that, do you find that fundamentally changes the way they need information to be presented to them, or?
To some extent, maybe. I mean, I'm probably still a little old school in some ways, where too much screen time can be a bad thing. And so, you know, we're not promoting a lot more screen time for students necessarily. But if we can use screen time to enhance conversations or enhance how we're going to analyze a problem or, for instance, using a digital microscope where they can put something on a slide and it's displayed on the Promethean board so that not only one student at a time can see what's under the slide. That's pretty powerful. Okay. So there's a lot of things we can use technology to enhance kind of what we've always done. But also, you know, there's a balance, I think, and especially for our younger students, and I think that just depends. I mean, I use digital native in the sense that all of this technology is so normal, you know, for all of our kiddos. But I still think there needs to be a balance with screen time in their lives, you know. And I think that's a piece, too, of it is a piece of what's in those standards is teaching, you know, appropriate social use of technology. You know, teaching kids about that internet safety piece, that'll be part of what we're doing as well, because that's key, especially for our older students who become more independent on technology.
Right, who might have their own Facebook accounts.
Exactly. And so just, you know, helping them from a younger age because they're so comfortable to learn some boundaries, you know, and we'll be doing that in concert with parents. But, you know, that's really important as our students grow up in this new digital age.
Yeah, for sure. We've got about 15 minutes left in the program, but if you want to call in, there is still definitely time. The number is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. One thing you've mentioned a couple times now as well is the Promethean board. Is that a specific piece of technology, or what is that?
Yeah, so all of our classrooms have what's called a Promethean board, and so instead of the whiteboard that, well, we still have the whiteboard that you use a marker and write on, but a Promethean board is more like a ginormous computer screen, and it can, so you can use the computer and you can look at websites on that, and it's also interactive. You can have students come up and interact with an interface. For instance, in our math curriculum, there's lessons that they can do on the Promethean board that go with the math lesson where they're dragging items or they're working on the board and clicking and getting instant feedback for, okay, am I on it or am I off? Teachers can also do a screenshot, really, like in a computer, but they can save notes that they've written and pull it back up. I mean, it's another format to just keep the latest and greatest right at our fingertips. So,
okay. You know, and talking about limiting screen time and finding that balance, I think it might have been at the open house, there was something I heard about called walk and read. Is that?
Walk to read.
Walk to read. Yes. So what is that?
So walk to read, so there's an educational term called RTI, which is essentially stands for response to intervention. And, you know, it's not a program, but more of a process and a structure of how are we making sure that we are meeting kids' needs, especially those kids who may struggle. And so we have set up, we did that this year, where we have it set up as a 30-minute block every day for grades K-2 this year. And so during that walk to read time, every single student is in a small group during that time and working on a specific skill. So, for instance, if a student who is behind grade level, then they are pulled out during that time and in a small group with a teacher working on a very specific skill to catch them up, if you will. Now, we do it with all of our students because we also use it as an extension and enrichment time for those students who might be above grade level. And so, you know, those students are also grouped with a teacher and doing, you know, extension activities that might be above their grade level. And the way that, you know, the groups are fluid, you know, we meet every week and students move from group to group. Normally they move up, rarely do they move down, you know, as we see progress, and that's what we want to see. We want to see that enrichment group by the end of the year be full.
Okay.
And then, you know, our group with that are working on some of the more basic skills would be empty. That would be the ultimate goal in that. But it's just a way to make sure that we are meeting the needs of every student right where they need to be. You know, teaching is dynamic, and it's one of the most difficult professions out there. If you've ever been in a classroom looking at 20 bodies and they're all very different personalities and they all learn differently and they're all in a different place. You in one classroom you can have, you know, students that are a grade level or two below to students that are a grade level or two above, all in within that 120, and it's in that, you know, those 20 students, and it's challenging to meet the needs of all of them, yet that's the expectation for us as educators. And so it's just another way to help us meet those expectations on us as well as meet the needs of students.
Okay. So, you know, something that's come up a few times is meeting the students where they're at and these various breakout sessions and different ways that you know, whether someone is behind or at or above grade level, that they can get kind of exactly the attention they need. And I guess I'm curious about how that determination is made, how much is based on the assessments that are like the ones going on right now, and how much is based on parent involvement, teachers, that sort of thing, and kind of how that matrix, if it as you would, works.
Sure. It's a little bit of everything. I mean, when we, you know, yes, the assessments, you know, the data is there to inform us, and that's what that's there for. You know, the state assessment is more of a summative assessment of how are they doing from year to year. We use an assessment called AIMS-Web and CPAA, MAP. You know, there's all these acronyms out there. But those are the ones that we benchmark several times throughout the year. We do a fall, a winter, and a spring. And so those help us in placing the students. And then we do progress monitoring where every 2 weeks we're giving them a very short assessment. Are they growing? You know, always, are they growing? And then absolutely, you know, teacher conversations are a part of that, and teacher observations, and just the work that they're doing in class. You know, and the teachers are assessing every day informally. And so that's why we meet every week and have those conversations. And, you know, again, as we move forward, that's the power of the new format, is now we all share those students to have those conversations, which just adds more power to them. But that's why the groups are fluid, you know, and just keeping kids moving. We just want to make sure that they're continuing to grow.
So. Okay. And so, you know, with that happening and with the potential for more of this one-on-one attention and things like that, how does that factor into preparing them for later grade levels where they're going into middle school and high school and things like that, where maybe classes are bigger, maybe not necessarily at Sioux Valley, but
we're lucky.
But, you know, if they end up at another school within the district or in another district even, how does that mesh with, you know, because your whole schedule does kind of change significantly once you make that jump from middle school and then to high school.
Right. I mean, one thing we've talked about in making sure our students are ready, you know, at the elementary level, we're not graded. Students don't get an A, B, or C like they will once they reach middle school. And so one thing that we've talked about and we're starting to implement and we'll do better in the future is for our sixth graders and even maybe second semester of fifth grade, now that we have that as an option, that we start giving them letter grades so they know what is an A? What does that look like? You know, what kind of work am I producing? And just that's one of the hardest transitions is that students understanding, oh, you know, I don't even know if I'm an A student or a B student or a C student. So helping them understand that quality of their work using rubrics, et cetera. Organization is always a tough skill for middle schoolers.
And for adults.
Yes. Having been a middle school principal, you just kind of have to smile and nod because you got to love them. But they, organization is always a tough part. And so using a planner, teaching them how to organize and how to use that planner, you know, and then especially our new format for those kiddos, you know, we'll have to make sure that homework that we're all communicating and it's all going to, you know, look smoothly. But for our fifth and sixth graders, they're going to have to learn. They're going to get homework from different teachers in different classes, and they're going to have to remember that and keep track of that, and then actually remember when they get home and communicate that to their parents, which is a whole other level. So just helping them as much as we can with those phases, you know.
Right.
I mean, and so as much as we can, we will be doing that with our fifth and sixth graders and just looking ahead of how do we help them transition. You know, other pieces are just helping them transition socially. Even things such as dance parties, you know, holding a dance party, just kind of breaking down some of those, you know, it's kind of a weird social time in life.
Sure.
We all remember middle school.
Yep.
It's just funky, for lack of a better word. And so, you know, doing dance parties, just kind of breaking down some of the social pieces, making sure that students are comfortable in their own skins and comfortable with each other as much as we possibly can. So.
All right. Well, I guess we're down to the last few minutes here, but definitely still have a lot to that we could be covering, but what I really want to end on is, since this is your first year here, kind of your vision overall going forward. I mean, obviously, as far as, you know, the academic focuses and you mentioned place-based education and things like that, but, you know, where you would want to see Talkeetna Elementary in 5 years as far as progressing along those goals.
Sure. So, gosh, if I had a magic wand, in 5 years,
sure, yeah.
We would have enough enrollment to have one teacher per grade level, just because it just with more people, we can get more creative. And so, and I would love to see us still, you know, doing as much as we can connected to our community so that kids have a strong sense of place, that community members feel comfortable coming into the building and know what's going on in the building, and there's a strong connection there. We rock the data pretty well at Talkeetna Elementary overall in the district, but I am a little competitive, I do have to say, so I want to make sure we're keeping that up and even increasing that if we can through this new format of, you know, can we, I feel we need to do a little better job of meeting our high-end students' needs, okay. Raising the bar a little bit for what we expect of our high-end students. You know, high-end students can tend to just kind of settle in and do what's good enough, and I want to challenge that a little bit. I want to have them working a little bit harder and having it be okay that they're challenged sometimes, mm-hmm. because if they don't meet it now and learn what it feels like to challenge and persevere through a challenge, that's going to hinder them as they get into mm-hmm. middle school and high school and beyond. And so I think we need to step up that game a little bit, and I'm excited about helping teachers do that. We this year, as a staff, did a class in differentiated instruction together. And it was really a fantastic conversation and a fantastic class. And, you know, how do we do this? Because mm-hmm. it's complicated and it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to start small and we're going to keep going. And so in 5 years, you know, we're doing a better job of meeting all the kids' needs. And okay. we're never going to get there. You know, there's not an end point where, oh, I'm there and I can do this, because education continues to change. And each new group you get is a new group. And okay. They're all in different places. But just keeping so that it's... we can raise the bar a little bit, but still in a sustainable way for all of us as a staff. And we have to continue. We have an amazing group of parents, an amazing PTA, that's very involved. And that is something that is unique to Talkeetna and this school. And it's part of our power, if you will. And so I would love to see that continue. We're always looking for more people to get involved in school. And we want that to be as open as possible so that people feel comfortable doing that. Because that's only good for kids
okay.
when everybody's on the same page and we're all in the game. So.
Awesome. Well, in our last couple minutes here, if you could just kind of give us a rundown of what's coming up.
What's coming up? Okay. Well, probably our next – so right now we're in the middle of our AMP testing, and that will continue for the next 2 weeks. And then we have what we're calling Discovery Days, mm-hmm. which is the new Art Week. So we kind of took Art Week and twisted it a little bit to – contain activities beyond art, if you will, even though they're all sort of integrated as well. But I have been putting feelers out and making phone calls and sending emails to people in the community who have talents and passions that can come in and share those talents and passions with kids. So that'll be April 20, 21, and 22. And so for several hours each day, we'll have community members in. Everything from, I've got archery to hopefully podcasting and radio broadcasting. See, now you're stuck because I said it on the air.
You're saying it right.
To some art going on, crocheting, knitting, photography, digital photography. I can't remember. Signing. So it'll be great. And so that information will be coming out as I continue to put those classes together. But pretty excited about that. Another way to bring community members in and provide some experiences to kids that they don't have
right.
access to all the time. And then so that Wednesday, just to put a plug, is our volunteer luncheon. So there will be more information coming to volunteers that have been in the school. We're going to be celebrating them that day with kids. And that afternoon will be our showcase for all that the students have learned during Discovery Days. So that's the next thing on the agenda, I guess, coming
all
up
right.
at us. So.
Well, great. And so for more information on that, people can mm-hmm. call the school?
Absolutely.
All right. And that's
733-9400.
All righty. Well, that's just about all the time we've got for today on Sioux Valley Voice. My guest has been Talkeetna Elementary School Principal Lisa Shelby. If you missed any of the program or want to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will rebroadcast at 7 o'clock tonight, or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org. I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.